Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. South Sudan moves to stop the spread of the deadly Ebola virus from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
The Ebola has been found in DR Congo. That's why we decided to close our border, because if we leave the border open, then the Ebola can easily trickle down to Tembure State, because we have an exit between Tembure State and DR Congo.
And Court 8 says its projects will continue in South Sudan despite the dangers.
There's hardly any SME segment in South Sudan. There's only large corporations and micro-entrepreneurs. So as Court 8, we felt it was very important for the stability of the country, for the political stability, to basically support the backbone of the economy, these micro-entrepreneurs.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in South Sudan have closed part of its border with the Democratic Republic of Congo to prevent the spread of the deadly Ebola outbreak declared by the World Health Organization in a remote northern part of the DRC 2 weeks ago. WHO says 4 people have died from the disease in the DRC. The deputy governor of Tembure State, Lino Utu, says the movement of people and goods between South Sudan and the DRC through the border town of Ezo is restricted until further notice. Utu is appealing to the WHO to send experts to Tembure to screen people for the deadly virus, since his state has no capacity to detect suspected cases of Ebola.
We closed the border simply because of the Ebola. The Ebola, that we have been told, it has been found in DR Congo. That's why we decided to close our border, because if we leave the border open, then the Ebola can easily trickle down to Tembure State, because we have an exit between Tembure State and DR Congo. That's why we have closed around the border.
How busy is the border points where you share border with DRC Congo? How busy is that area?
The area is absolutely busy. You know, I can call it a beehive, because it is where the people from the Democratic Republic of Congo bring in their goods, and also people from Tembure State in the Republic of South Sudan bring in their goods. It is such a big market, and people come every day. So that's why we say, you know, people can easily contract this Ebola. Since it is a beehive, then the only thing for us to do is to close down the border for the time being.
When was the border closed exactly? Was it today or yesterday? When did you close it?
We closed the border last week.
Health officials have said that Ebola can be found in the meat of animals or birds. And so since there is a lot of poaching in the area, I was just wondering if wildlife officials in Tembure County have enforced a ban on the sale of game meat.
It is true that the doctors do tell us that Ebola can easily be found or gotten in the bush meat. And before that, we did not actually allow people to kill the animals in the bush or in the park, just simple as that. As per now, we cannot even allow bush meat to be sold any longer, because people can easily contract Ebola from it. That's why we are very serious today. The Minister of Health had been installed in his office officially in Tembure State. Sooner or later, he will be traveling down to Ezo County to see what's actually happening on the ground under the auspices of WHO, World Health Organization, and other partners with whom we work jointly.
Apart from closing the border, is there any health awareness going on in Tembure State?
There is health awareness going on. The current partner on the ground is the World Vision, with the World Vision International. They are on the ground. They work in conjunction with CDTY, another local organization, and AMREF has already come in to join them. So the three partners will work jointly. And also the World Health Organization, because those are the people who can easily prevent such diseases. And also people like Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, although they are not based in Tembora here. As you know, Tembora is a newly created state, just a nascent or newly born state. These people will help us to do what we can do.
Is there any activities going on right now in Tembora State as we speak about how communities in the town or in the villages can protect themselves from the spread of Ebola in case there is an outbreak?
There are activities going on right now. And you see, this awareness has been going on and on and on. When you tell our people that, there is an Ebola breakout, then definitely they themselves will know that, no, Ebola is always contracted from the bushmeat. Then from there, let us shrink from eating the bushmeat. So people are very aware, and we are passing the information. The information is already circulating within Tembora State and all its Payams and Bomas, as I'm talking to you right now.
If there is a message you would like to pass to the health agencies in South Sudan about the situation in Tembora County, as far as your preparedness is concerned, what message will you tell them?
I'm appealing to all the health agencies to come down to Tembora State to rescue the situation, to screen people, to inspect people, and advise us in other areas as far as Ebola is contracted and how we can prevent the spread of Ebola. I really need them to come to us on the ground in Tembora State.
That's Lino Utu, Deputy Governor of Tembora State. He was speaking to me from Tembora Town earlier today. Meanwhile, authorities in the neighboring Buduo State have banned the sale of bushmeat in the markets in Yambio. Buduo State Minister for Information Gibson Bulenwande says wildlife officials are creating awareness about the dangers of eating bush meat because of the outbreak of Ebola in the DRC. Bulen says Buduo State and its NGO health partners have also trained and deployed health officials along the border with DRC to monitor the movement of traders from the two countries. But he says the border post with the DRC will remain open.
The state of Buduo had already formed a task force committee, which is comprised by WHO and all the players of the health, including the government. And then secondly, we have also identified the surveillance team who are from the medical personnel, and they went through emergency training to ensure that how to address the issue of Ebola in case any suspected case appears within our area. The committee also has identified some areas where we can be able to deploy the inlet to Buduo State along the border with Congo. We have also identified the key locations where people come. People enter South Sudan from Congo. And we have also placed some medical workers along those areas to ensure that let them monitor.
We understand that Buduo State closed its border with the Democratic Republic of Congo.
No, that is typically a misplaced information. Buduo State has not yet closed the border because closing the border between country and country is the competency of the national government. What we are doing is we are updating the national government with the day-to-day report about the case, about our operation within the state. Buduo State has not yet closed its border because, as I said earlier, that is the competency of the national government to close the border between country and country. Our responsibility as a Buduo State is to be alert on the issue. As I'm speaking, the director for wildlife is on radio as I'm speaking, try to create awareness to the community in regards now to the use or the eating of the bush meat or any monkey, whatever that could come. So the wildlife is now putting a measure that are going to ban the sale of dry meat, bush meat, or any trading of the bush meat between the community. Those are the things that people get Ebola out of, because we understand the Ebola transmits through the eating of the bush meat.
The epicenter of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of Congo shares a border within a stretch of area. That is, if you talk about Yambio, Ezo. How are authorities in the two states, that is Buduo State and Tembora State, doing to contain? I know that you've told me that Buduo State is sending surveillance groups on the border
and it's done emergency training. How about in Tombora? Do you know what is happening there?
We do share information with our counterpart in Tombora State to ensure that we are on the same page of containing this situation. We have to be alert on the same page. Of course, now the Minister of Health, both in Tombora and Gubbio State, are collaborating and coordinating to ensure that there is at least a flow of information between the three states.
Let's talk about movement of people. How would you know that this person is from Congo or this person is from South Sudan? I mean, it looks like you all look alike. It's difficult to know that. How would you know when you say you were controlling the movement of people?
The authority in all the states are aware of who comes from Congo and who is a South Sudanese. We are fully aware with the communities in those areas, and that is why I say the road coming from Congo through all those borders are well secured and well monitored, because we know who comes from Congo, and we know who is a South Sudanese going to Congo. We need to move, at least the movement has to be controlled, has to be make sure that we understand who is going and why is this person going. We have to look at, that is why we are requesting the medical team and the vaccines that were brought in by WHO, so that we at least ensure that we check whoever is coming, we check and even probably have the vaccine, so that now we don't transmit or we don't carry a disease from one country to another country.
And how is the traffic between South Sudan and Congo? I know that Gudwe State is closer to DRC and you do a lot of trade with Congo. How is the traffic like?
We have one inlet that comes through Dungu where the vehicles move. And also we have other smaller inlets which are being used by cyclists. Of course, all those areas are passable. But of course, vehicles don't come so often. If vehicle comes once, that is why we are able at least to monitor who are those coming and who are those going.
That's Gibson Bulenwande, Minister for Information, Youth and Culture in Gudwe State. He was speaking to me from Yambio Town earlier today. The continued fighting in South Sudan has sprung one of the biggest refugee crises in Africa and has caused a number of international companies to leave the country. But at least one organization based in Netherlands called CodeAid has continued to work in South Sudan amid the political and economic crisis. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
Laura Westmias Tjebrak, the managing director of CodeAid, a development organization based in the Netherlands, says her group is hoping to expand projects in South Sudan, even as the conflict spreads. She says CodeAid hopes to fill the gap that is created when businesses and NGOs leave due to insecurity and economic hardships.
More than 90% of the local currency has lost its value against the dollar, so it makes investments extremely challenging. But on the other hand, what we notice is that a large part of the economy is relying on basically the entrepreneurs being able to have some form of access to finance. There's hardly any SME segment in South Sudan. There's only large corporations and micro-entrepreneurs. So as CodeAid, we felt it was very important for the stability of the country, for the political stability, to basically support the backbone of the economy, these micro-entrepreneurs. So that's why we keep investing in South Sudan, even though right now we are making losses. We're not really profitable.
CodeAid has 136 South Sudan-based projects supporting healthcare, security, justice, investments, and economic opportunities for entrepreneurs. South Sudan has the second highest number of CodeAid projects in Africa. Amid a worsening economic and humanitarian crisis, companies operating in South Sudan have complained that doing business in conflict-ridden South Sudan is too dangerous and expensive. In January 2016, international beer company Saab Miller shut down its brewery in South Sudan, a move which resulted in a loss of over 170 jobs. In October, Nespresso suspended its operations in South Sudan just 6 months after a partnership designed to accelerate development of the country's coffee market, worth $3 million, was announced between the coffee giant USAID and Technoserve. According to the Wall Street Journal, Nespresso stopped imports from South Sudan due to fighting which spread to the coffee-growing regions of the former Central Equatoria state. Both companies look to invest in non-oil revenues, a step which observers said could diversify the oil-dependent economy. Mamadou Karbo, Sierra Leone's Minister of Finance and the chair of the G7 Plus, an intergovernmental voluntary organization bringing together countries that are either facing active conflict or have recently experienced conflict and fragility, says it's time for South Sudan's leaders to cease hostilities.
There is no development without peace, and peace without development. These things have to go hand in hand. And the fundamental thing about all of these issues is to talk. Open the doors, keep talking, and you are bound to reach a solution. We have to accept the fact that our people are suffering. So how can we be... say we are fighting for people and we put them through more pain and more agony. That is not fighting for your people.
The International Monetary Fund has also stopped providing financial support to the government and has resorted to offering fiscal advice. Measures the IMF said have brought inflation down and cut overspending by the government. But Wesmius Jabrak says international banks should reconsider plans of completely pulling funding from the country. She says her organization is losing money by continuing its operations in conflict-affected South Sudan because of a bad economy and disruption of projects in the country. She says it is important for aid agencies to ramp up their work during difficult times to meet the gap the conflict creates.
They are in such a deep crisis right now. I think there couldn't be any more wrong moment to actually cut the funding. That's the moment they need it the most. So I think it's, if you really want to have an impact, stop funding the government, but then find other ways, use civil society organizations that are present on the ground. Economic stability is the backbone of any peaceful society. So it's a very, very logical thing as well. If someone has a job or a stable income, they will not be tempted to relapse into conflict.
In February, UNHCR reported 6 aid workers, a mixture of locals and Kenyan expats working for Gredo, a South Sudanese nonprofit, were killed in an ambush while on the way to Pabor. The UN also reports that at least 80 aid workers have been killed in South Sudan, and aid workers complain their work is often interrupted or restricted by men in uniform. Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, what are effective ways to fight the spread of Ebola? Find out when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What music do you prefer, African or Western, and why?
I prefer Western music because the lyrics are more meaningful.
I love African music because African music, most of times they talk about what has happened, about events, about our tradition. So I like African music.
Actually, I like African music because I am an African, so I like African music and the dances.
I love African music. The beats are nice.
I prefer Western music because their beat is good, they go with the song, unlike this African music where the beat is different and the song is different.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America, and it's time for our health segment. And today, we are talking about effective measures to stop the spread of Ebola. This is in the public interest of South Sudanese living on the border with DRC. A report by international health researchers have come out with steps on how to curb the spread of the deadly Ebola virus after an outbreak was reported in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Jessica Bauman has this report.
The report on measures to curtail the spread of the aggressive Ebola virus is timely. There are now 3 confirmed Ebola deaths in the DRC. Public health officials are reportedly investigating a total of 9 suspicious cases of the deadly viral infection. During the epidemic of 2014-2015, more than 28,000 people became infected, and more than 11,000 in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone died. In the study published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, an international team of researchers culled 37 studies for the most effective containment strategies. Katrina Shea is a professor of biology at Pennsylvania State University and co-author of the study.
The best strategies that we found out of the five that we looked at were funeral containment and public information campaigns of sort of care in the community.
Ebola virus is spread through contact with the bodily fluids of infected individuals. Shea says investigators found the number one way to prevent transmission of Ebola was for loved ones to avoid washing bodies of the deceased prior to burial. Shea says that information is best conveyed through public health campaigns that also stress the importance of hand washing, personal hygiene, and self-quarantine in high transmission areas. People suspected of being infected with Ebola, the report found, should also not hesitate to go to the hospital or clinic for evaluation and treatment. But researchers found building more hospitals in response to an epidemic to be the least effective way to prevent the spread of Ebola within communities. Investigators undertook the study in response to the public health emergency 2 years ago. At the height of the epidemic, Shea says there was no consensus on the best ways to contain the Ebola epidemic, and that's why researchers decided to look into the matter.
We really wanted to try to do something. You know, many of us have children and were moved by stories of individual horrors and so forth. And others of us felt that perhaps something we did scientifically might contribute to making future outbreaks less horrific.
With the virus once again threatening to become a public health menace, Shea says it's not too early to begin taking aggressive measures to prevent another Ebola epidemic. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
An international non-governmental organization is helping to reunite hundreds of South Sudanese families that lost contact with their loved ones as they fled deadly violence in their home country. The International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, has set up an office in northern Uganda to help parents and children find each other. Mungume Debs Rakarinj has this report for VOA from Kampala, Uganda.
I'm by name Sioloki Rose. I am a resident of Singa Zone 2, BDBD. So I was working at one of the health centers in Yei, where they started the crossfire shooting there. I left all my belongings for Yei town, from which I proceeded to Uganda. I left my parents behind.
That is 32-year-old Yoloki Rose speaking to the ICRC's tracing assistant, Ben Onziga, at the MVP refugee settlement. Onziga is a busy person. Every day he receives more than a dozen people who have lost contact with their families as they fled violence in South Sudan. Rose says she spent days running in the bush before finally making her way to Uganda on foot. Before arriving at the ICRC center here in northern Uganda, she did not know the whereabouts of her four children who fled to Uganda via the Democratic Republic of Congo. A few weeks ago, Onziga informed Rose by phone that her children and mother were in Vepir settlement camp. When Rose met with Onziga at the ICRC office earlier this month, Onziga was able to reunite Rose with her family. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus a day later, Rose said she had been extremely worried about her sick mother.
The day I met my mother, I didn't believe it was me to get united with her. So I have to grab her. Instead of joy, maybe getting happy, everybody is crying, the children are crying. So I don't know what to do. But actually, as I cry, I felt I've got her, but she was very weak. She could not walk. The children are very tired, very hungry.
Speaking in her native Kakwa language, her mother, 64-year-old Lillian Lopon, says she was overwhelmed with relief when she laid eyes on her daughter.
I was very tired after a very long journey, but when I met my daughter, I was very happy. I had been very worried about my grandchildren. I thought they could kill them along the way with me, and I didn't know how to look after them because I'm a very sickly person. I'm very glad that my grandchildren are now safe.
Another South Sudanese who lost contact with her loved ones while fleeing violence is 33-year-old Teresa Charles from Torit. Charles sought refuge in Vepi along with her three stepchildren, her sister, and her four children. Charles learned from the ICRC that her children were safe living with their aunt in Ibeyale refugee settlement camp. More than 200 kilometers from Viepi. Speaking in Arabic, Charles says she's sad to be living apart from her children, but is relieved to know their whereabouts.
It's
so painful to live without your children when you don't have a husband. At least if my children were staying with me, it would give me some bit of comfort. But they are far from me. I don't even know how they are coping with life without a mother or a father. I'm very worried about them. I also wish my stepchildren can unite again with their brothers and sisters so they can live together as one family.
Onziga says his team works with people like Charles by tracing their relatives, using the information the person has provided. He says the ICRC provides free phone calls for people looking for lost relatives.
If the phone fails to go through, the second thing we do is we have the Red Cross message. We write to the inquirer to inquire where this person exactly is. So filling this Red Cross message, we also have a family news shared, written by the inquirer. So to the person is tracing. So on the family news also give the detail. That's only the way that I'm so and so, I'm here in this place, and I want to know where you, if you are there, please reply to me.
That message is shared throughout all refugee settlements in Uganda. Onziga says the exercise can be challenging, especially when it involves children who may not easily remember details of family members or the name of the village they came from. But when they do reunite families, there is no greater feeling of joy. For VOA News, I am Mugume. Davis Ruakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. South Sudanese authorities say they have closed part of the country's shared border with the DRC to prevent the spread of Ebola. The WHO has confirmed that at least four people have died from the disease in the DRC. Lino Utu, the deputy governor of Tembura State, says the movement of people and goods between the two countries through the border town of Izu is being restricted. Utu is calling on the World Health Organization to send experts to Tembura to screen people for the deadly virus, saying his state has no capacity to detect suspected cases of Ebola. Authorities in Budwe State have banned the sale of bushmeat in Yambio markets to curb the possible spread of the disease. State Information Minister Gibson Bulanwandi told this program that wildlife officials are creating and trying to educate people about the dangers of eating bushmeat and creating programs about it during the outbreak. Bulan says the state and its NGO partners have trained and deployed health workers at the border to monitor movement of traders from both countries. And finally, the ongoing fighting in South Sudan has created one of the biggest refugee crises in Africa. It has also caused a number of international companies to leave the country. But one Dutch organization is committed to staying in South Sudan despite the political and economic hardships. Lori Westmus Shabrak, who is with Cordaid, says her group wants to expand projects in South Sudan and fill the gap that's left when businesses and NGOs leave the country. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now take you back to Yambio with the song Tong Tong by Sweet J. We've been listening to Sweet J from Yambio with the song Tong Tong. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We appreciate you sharing your evening with us. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
you know.